hearing, but I almost certainly will be present in person. Several of my panel have commitments interspersed during the morning and afternoon, and we'll briefly break to accommodate those because setting the final dates for this hearing has been a bit of a movable feast, and so we just have to accommodate people's diaries, and I'll let you know when that happens. This morning, as I also just circulated some summary statements from the officers and consultants providing Section 42A reports. So my panel should be aware that that has come through the email. And we also have today sitting with Mr. Jessen, the Chief Planning Officer of the City Council, David Murphy, who offered himself to provide some context for the strategic aspects from the City Council's point of view, which, given his role, he's best placed to share. So welcome, David. Thank you, and I'll hand it over to Mr. Jessen.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Just a minor piece of housekeeping. Among the reports that were sent through by email just now is a summary statement from Glenn Wright. Actually, I might take this off. It's not intended that he appear today, based on the indication from the panel before the hearing closed a few weeks ago before COVID. And we're going to go today in the order on Ms. Oliver's list. Sorry, just on Mr. Wright. Of course, if there are any questions, we can make them available. We are going to proceed on the order on Ms. Oliver's list. First presenter is not one of ours. As Mr. Chair said, Mr. Murphy, the Chief Planning Officer from the Council, and he's come along to answer questions and provide a bit more clarification on a couple of matters that were raised before we ended things. So, Mr. Murphy.
The light
I think he does it automatically.
It's on.
Oh.
Yep, starting now. All right. Mōrena koutou, ko David Murphy, tuku ingoa. As has been indicated, I'm the Chief Planning Officer for Palmerston North City Council. So I've provided a memorandum which was attached to Ms. Copleston's Section 42A report dated 15th of June 2021. I'm happy to answer any questions on that as this morning. And I've provided a written statement this morning which I'll walk through. Just before I do that, I guess an introductory comment, I guess, would be that the Council has a very broad planning function which extends beyond its RMA functions. So we develop land use strategies, strategies to inform our long-term plan and council activities. We've produced spatial plans. We obviously produce a long-term plan. The council has an economic development function, so we're a shareholder in CEDA. We develop asset management plans. We do transport planning. And, of course, we do RMA planning as well. So my role, I guess, effectively includes most of those functions, plus the RMA function. So in my mind, the RMA function is obviously a really important tool to test that broader strategic planning that the council does together with its community. And probably the key point in my strategic planning memo dated 15th of June and the statement today is that while we find ourselves here today, in an RMA process looking at a notice of requirement, which is incredibly important part of that overall planning function, there's been over a decade's worth of work undertaken by the council and the community to really get to this point or this part of a broader process. And I guess that's one of the points I'd just like to emphasise. As I walk through the statement today, it's probably addressing more some of the things that have come up during the course of the hearing. So I'm the Chief Planning Officer at Palmerston North City Council. As Mr. Jessen indicated, I'm not a reporting officer under Section 42 RMA, and I have not been involved in the review of this notice of requirement. At the request of Ms. Copplestone, I provided a short memorandum dated 15 June 21, in which I discussed the strategic planning context and background for Palmerston North as relevant to the Key Rail Notice of Requirement. I've been following the hearing intermittently, and I understand there has been some questions about matters discussed in my memorandum, and I will be happy to answer any questions about those topics. Further, I understand the panel has shown some interest in further exploring the following matters, which I will speak about: the rationale for the 2012 Palmerston North City and Manawatu District Council boundary change, and the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub Master Plan and Palmerston North City land review processes. So in terms of the rationale for the 2012 boundary, Palmerston North City and MDC boundary change, paragraph 6 of my 15 June memorandum recorded that the recommendations of the 2007 Joint Industrial Land Review, together with ongoing challenges associated with planning and delivering a strategic transport network to service the growth of Palmerston North, led to PNCC and MDC collaborating on a boundary change process that was confirmed in 2012. Industrial growth, economic development opportunities, and strategic transport planning objectives were the key drivers for the 2012 boundary change. This is shown in the documents identified below, which I will provide copies of to the panel electronically. The draft boundary reorganisation scheme for the Manawatu District and Palmerston North City dated July 2011, so that was effectively the proposal. The decision of the Joint Boundary Committee of Manawatu District Council and Palmerston North City Council dated 2nd November 2011, so the decision of the two councils. And then the Local Government Commission decision on appeals against the decision of the Joint Boundary Committee of MDC and PNCC to adopt the draft reorganisation scheme dated 17 April 2012. So I've provided two documents, but the first two of those three are actually together. So there's the decision of the Joint Committee, and then the first attachment to that is the proposal. So hopefully that's clear as you work your way through that document. And then there's a Local Government Commission document or decision, which is a separate document. So I won't read the extracts that I've got in my paper this morning, but leave them there for you. So there are a series of key passages that I've drawn from each document. I think when you do choose to, read through those, you will see, that there was some strong components of those two decisions that supported the boundary change for that industrial growth, economic development and strategic transport planning objectives. I also explicitly identified some comments from the decisions as they relate to Longburn, which I think is important. As I understand, there has been some questions about the from submitters about the MCA process and the site selection. So if I just draw your attention to page 5 of my written statement, and it's paragraph 54 of the Local Government Commission, which I will read. The Joint Committee's decision split the township of Longburn, proposed to be included in Palmerston North City Council, from the Longburn Community Centre and a small cluster of houses which were to remain in the Manawatu District. The draft reorganisation scheme had provided for a larger area to the west of Longburn to be included in the city. The Joint Committee excluded this western area from the area to be included in the city, as it is not required for the strategic roading network or industrial development, but does include soils of high agricultural value. So I guess what we did see through that process was a larger area from Longburn that was reduced because the land was not required for industrial development. I think one of the key drivers for the boundary change as it related to Longburn was to bring in existing industrial land at Longburn that had some significant servicing issues. So there was a whole lot of private infrastructure which still actually remains and is being worked through at the moment with the landowners to become reticulated from the city. So that was probably the key driver. So Longburn is an economic development and industrial development opportunity, but it's more within the extent of the current zoning at Longburn. So that's probably paragraph 7, I will read it. In contrast to the rationale for expanding the northeast boundary of Palmerston North, I note that the key driver for the boundary change at Longburn was to include the existing industrial estate in order for it to be serviced by the city with reticulated infrastructure. At the time, Longburn was not considered to be necessary for industrial expansion, which was reflected in the Joint Committee's decision to remove the larger area to the west of Longburn from the boundary change. So I'll now address the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub Master Plan and Palmerston North Industrial Land Review. So paragraph 13 of my 15 June memorandum recorded that the master planning workstream identified within the draft Central New Zealand Distribution Hub strategy. That strategy is now a final strategy, which has been approved by CEDA, our Economic Development Agency, and I can make a final copy of that strategy available. Will be a collaborative planning exercise led by PNCC and address matters such as a further review of the capacity of the Northeast Industrial Zone, integrated stormwater management, housing growth at Bunnythorpe to accommodate increased employment associated with the freight hub, efficient transport connections between the Palmerston North Airport, Northeast Industrial Zone, Kiwi Rail Regional Freight Hub, Bunnythorpe, and the proposed Regional Freight Ring Road. A project brief has been finalised for the master plan at present. Preparation of the master plan will be led by PNCC and include MDC, Iwi, CEDA, Waka Kotahi, Kiwi Rail, Horizons Regional Council, landowners and operators, and other government departments, including Kāinga Ora and the Housing and Urban Development Authority. The master plan and other Central New Zealand Distribution Hub work streams will be overseen by a reference group comprising PNCC, the Mayor and CE, MDC, the Mayor and CE, Horizons Regional Council, Chair and CE, Iwi, CEDA, Kiwi Rail and Waka Kotahi, and delivered by a steering group comprising the same organisations as the reference group, as well as Accelerate 25, which is a regional economic development activity led by the Regional Council, the Palmerston North Airport and a landowner operator representative. The key components of the master plan will be a further review of the capacity of the Northeast Industrial Zone, and obviously a key part of that will be to inform future district plan changes, integrated stormwater management, housing growth at Bunnythorpe to accommodate increased employment associated with the freight hub, efficient transport connections between the airport, Northeast Industrial Zone, Kiwi Rail, Bunnythorpe and the proposed ring road, and cultural values. So addressing each of those individually, a further review of the capacity of the Northeast Industrial Zone. Projections for industrial land supply are challenging and tend to rely on market indications more than economic modelling. Unlike residential projections, it's not a case of looking at population projections and then determining from those the number of houses and land that's required. As noted in my 15th June memorandum, the May 2019 Business Development Capacity Assessment observed that approximately 150 hectares of land of the 212 hectares of land zoned for large floor plate development has been developed or has been secured with the intention to develop in the short to medium term, up to 10 years. The ongoing concern is the emerging land ownership concentration will remain relatively high. Council anticipated that the land subject to the NOR within the Northeast Industrial Zone extension area was the most development-ready land within the extension area. This is really because of its access to Roberts Line and Railway Road and services which were already at being brought down Railway Road and up that part of Roberts Line. The land is effectively unavailable to the market until such time as a final decision is made on the NOR and Kiwi Rail responds accordingly and either develops the site for the regional freight hub or it is made available to the market. Since the development capacity was completed in May 2019, I am aware of further land purchases within the Northeast Industrial Zone extension area, completed with the intent of undertaking development in the short to medium term. Council is also about to commence an upgrade of Richardson's Line, which will likely result in further interest in land not already secured for development. Taking into account the matters above, there is a need to immediately commence a further review of the capacity of the Northeast Industrial Zone with the objective of rezoning additional land for large floor plate development. This work will be informed by the outcomes of the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub Master Plan. integrated stormwater management. The original northeast industrial zone is serviced by a large stormwater detention area established as part of the initial development. The northeast industrial zone extension area provisions, so this is the more recently rezoned northeast industrial zone land to the north of Richardson's line and the land subject to the NOR. Those provisions propose a different method of stormwater management whereby a series of smaller low-impact detention areas that work with the natural topography of the land are established as sites are developed. The onus is on individual developers to demonstrate that they are managing stormwater effects on site. PNCC is currently developing further guidance to support landowners and developers with this approach. The major landowner and other prospective developers within the northeast industrial zone extension area have indicated to council that they do not support the low-impact site-specific approach. They prefer a single integrated approach, like what was delivered as part of the original northeast industrial zone, due to the value of industrial land and the potential inefficiencies of a series of smaller low-impact detention areas. My understanding of KeyRail's proposal is that it intends to manage its own stormwater via specific detention areas. Given the concerns of the northeast industrial zone landowners and the mixed ownership within the extension area, there is value in investigating alternative stormwater options, including a single integrated approach that utilises the low-lying land to the west of Setters Line beyond the northeast industrial zone extension area that is currently zoned rural. This work is best undertaken as part of the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub Master Plan. I guess what I would just add there is I'm not making any assertions about whether the current model or a single integrated model would be the best solution. I guess what I am indicating is that there's, I think, given the concerns, it warrants a further investigation as part of the work just to double-check that the current provisions and methodology for delivering stormwater are the most efficient and effective. But I wouldn't want to preempt the outcome of that work until such time as that analysis was completed. So housing growth at Bunnythorpe to accommodate increased employment associated with the freight hub. New Zealand's housing affordability issues have been exacerbated by single-focused planning exercises that address particular parts of city development. As a result, we have seen the government establish the Housing and Urban Development Authority, broaden the function of Kāinga Ora, and review the NPS urban development with the aim of increasing supply and achieving integrated urban development. PNCC and its strategic partners have been promoting the Central New Zealand Distribution Hub largely for economic development reasons and alignment with broader strategic objectives. While a major focus has been economic development, it's important that people working at the distribution hub have access to housing and other urban amenities such as parks, shops and schools. As noted in my 15th June memorandum, PNCC has a well-settled residential growth strategy that can accommodate projected growth over the next 30 years without requiring the land subject to the NOR or the broader distribution hub area. Without requiring the land subject to the NOR. Despite this, there would be value in exploring opportunities to provide additional housing at Bunnythorpe, given its close proximity to the distribution hub. There is the potential for new housing to help revitalise the village and make use of existing resources such as the primary school, whilst avoiding potential reverse sensitivity effects on the distribution hub. Again, this work is best undertaken as part of the master plan. Efficient transport connections between the airport, the northeast industrial zone, KeyRail regional freight hub, Bunnythorpe, and the proposed regional freight ring road. The CEDA submission highlighted that adjacency is different to connectivity, and the success of the distribution hub will rely on efficient transport connections between the airport, the northeast industrial zone, the KeyRail regional freight hub, and the proposed regional freight ring road. While some of this responsibility sits with KeyRail, much of the planning required to achieve this connectivity sits outside the land subject to the NOR and will require a collaborative effort by the stakeholders, by key stakeholders, which are party to the distribution hub steering group and reference group and proposed master plan process. Some preliminary work has been undertaken on the potential role of Richardson's line and the Richardson's line, Roberts line intersection in order to achieve the desired connectivity. One option includes Richardson's line becoming a private road in the future that allows machinery that is not permitted on public roads to move freight to and from the airport, the northeast industrial zone and the freight hub. This may require grade separation or a controlled intersection at Richardson's Line, Roberts Line intersection, and a new road to the north of Richardson's Line, a new public road to the north of Richardson's Line, connecting Roberts Line and Setters Line, and servicing the northeast industrial zone extension area. Again, investigations of these issues can be part of that distribution hub master plan. Finally, in cultural values, PNCC holds little information on the cultural values of the wider Central New Zealand distribution hub area. It is anticipated that should the NOR be approved, KiRail will be required to do further work in this area. It is important that all Central New Zealand distribution hub stakeholders understand the cultural values of the Central New Zealand distribution hub area and that these are protected and celebrated as part of the development. Local iwi will also have broader socio-economic aspirations that need to be understood and delivered as part of the distribution hub. This matter will be addressed again further as part of the master plan. And then I've just attached as Appendix A, and it's by no means a final master plan, but what it does do is just highlight spatially some of the issues that I've addressed in the memorandum that the master plan will need to address. So this plan is really about trying to demonstrate to providers that may assist us with the master plan work some of the spatial constraints and opportunities associated with land in this area and the sorts of issues that would be explored through that piece of work. So happy to answer any questions on either the statement that's been provided this morning or the earlier memorandum.
All right, thank you. I might just kick off panel members. Thank you, that's very informative and interesting to see how that is developing. I have a number of questions, and I suppose the first one that comes to mind is that it seems to me that as the city moves northeast and in other locations not previously developed, it is also encountering the issue of managing water and freshwater values because it lives on a floodplain, and there is the intersection with the new MPSFM 2020. And so in terms of assessing industrial capacity, it seems to me there's this enormous challenge about not taking raw land value in terms of area and having to account for all the other infrastructure and things that may need to be inserted either on the site or as a central infrastructure. And I'm just interested to hear how those challenges are emerging in terms of assessing what is true capacity given these geographical and regulatory requirements that are increasing.
Yeah, I think it's it is a real challenge, and I think it's a challenge we're facing not just with industrial growth planning, but also our residential growth planning. So, I think in some respects we have been starting to have conversations about the city is almost reaching some natural limits in places. So there is obviously some reasonably significant flooding issues to the northeast, which again the plan on Appendix A demonstrates. But certainly to the west of the city as well, where we're planning residential growth at Kaka Tangiata, again there is going to be a requirement for significant land to be set aside for stormwater. And equally, if we look at some of the other sites that KiRail explored through the MCA. That land to the west of Longburn that was removed from the boundary change area was also subject to flood risks and doesn't have the 500-year level of protection that the existing urban part of the city has. So certainly everywhere we look at the moment, there is flooding issues or issues about how we deal with streams and overland flows. And the northeast is no different, and I understand that those issues have been explored in evidence from ecology and stormwater particularly.
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive because everyone thinks there's plenty of land, but in actual fact, there are those constraints.
Correct.
In terms of the spatial plan that we saw called Our Shared Vision, spatial planning, I was interested to see that because I was unaware that of the city and the contributing local authorities undertaking that analysis. Is that a plan that's sort of part of the broader strategies that you've been describing, but with a regional focus? So using all of the statutory functions of the various contributing local authorities and providing the sort of high-level planning reference point, is that the aim of that? Or does it have some other statutory basis?
Yes. So my original memorandum had three spatial plans attached. The first was the original city spatial plan, which was consulted on as part of the 2018 LTP. There was an updated city spatial plan, which was consulted on as part of the more recent 2021 LTP. But then I guess with one eye to pending government reform across local government, resource management, Three Waters, and the value that we gained from the city spatial planning exercise in 2018, we worked, and the city led this work, worked with the region to develop a regional spatial plan, and it's probably very much a Generation 1 regional spatial plan, and that we started to learn some of the tensions in developing this associated with regional spatial planning. However, it was prepared and approved by the individual councils, and there was an agreement across the councils that it would be made available as part of LTP consultation. So it probably wasn't at the forefront of the individual the regional council or the seven TAs within the region. It wasn't at the forefront of the LTP, but it was made available for comment or submission through that process by each of the respective councils. So the idea really was to be able to try and demonstrate to public and private investors in the Manawatu Whanganui region, and to demonstrate to government that there is one agreed unified plan and set of regional priorities for the region. I think what we have found is the Manawatu Whanganui region is a challenging region for its size and scale. It stretches from north of Tamaranui down to south of Levin, a number of different communities of interest. So the idea here was to demonstrate that there was one, agreed, unified plan for the region and the regional freight ring road and the Central New Zealand distribution freight hub were identified as the number one and two big regional initiatives as part of that work. So again, I think coming back to my earlier comment about that there's a heap of strategic planning that councils and communities do outside of the RMA, and these in my mind there are a set of, we're hearing a lot at the moment about more outcome-based planning. And I think there is a lot of outcome-based planning occurring in New Zealand at the moment. It just happens to be occurring outside of the RMA.
Given your portfolio, which encompasses a range of strategic planning interests, was that exercise of developing the spatial plan helpful in terms of performing the regulatory functions, the resource management functions, and seeing the interconnectedness between various interests?
I think if we think about that planning spectrum and where we are, with the NOR at the moment in that process, I think the effects-based resource management process, the issues tend to play out a bit more site-specific than what occurs or the discussions that occurred in developing that regional spatial plan. And I guess that is a tension and a challenge. But I'm not sure that the regional spatial plan is hugely significant in terms of resolving some of those site-specific effects. However, I think it is significant in terms of some of those Section 171, other matters, some of those broader strategic considerations that inform this process, and that this is this general project and this general location has been identified as a priority by our community leaders in consultation with our community. So in a roundabout sort of way, I would say that while we need to obviously very carefully consider site-specific effects, the idea of this development and this location should not be a surprise really to anyone within the community.
Two things arise from that. The first is, and I was interested to read your paragraph 54 of the Longburn element in paragraph 7. From my knowledge, Longburn is a legacy site that was unreticulated, and the focus now is leveraging the value of that by reticulation, but it appears it isn't identified as a core location at the moment in terms of industrial development beyond its boundaries. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we have received quite a bit of evidence about the MCA process, and given your knowledge of spatial planning and also work in the pipeline for residential development, was there anything about the MCA analysis weightings that struck you as incongruous with the spatial and strategic planning that the council was undertaking?
Nothing springs to mind from the sessions I participated in. I certainly brought these... the regional spatial plan was still in development at that time, but certainly the sessions I participated in, I brought the regional spatial plans along and made sure that participants were aware of them. But there was certainly nothing that jumped out at me that was a red flag in terms of inconsistency with any strategic planning that had been done by the city.
In terms of just looking at strategic choices, sometimes the district plan itself is not a reliable tool for what's to come. And so, for example, having this site transposed onto the other side of Rairé Road further east potentially has impacts on the Whakaronga residential area that... and if in Longburn, on the Pioneer City West sort of location. I shouldn't call it that. I think it's called Kangatangiata.
Kakatangiata, yeah. Certainly, Kakatangiata, you know, there's a significant master planning and district plan exercise underway for that piece of work at the moment, in the order of 5,000-plus homes going into the west of the city. So I guess broadly, I think if Longburn was selected, there would be ways and means of potentially mitigating that. But I guess really, we have been signalling significant residential growth to the west of the city, as opposed to industrial growth. And in terms of that, the other site on the sort of the southern or eastern side of Railway Road that was looked at. So if you were to flip the notice for requirement site onto the other side of Railway Road, potential issues for the Whakaronga residential growth area. But I think the discussions that I recall regarding that site was that a couple of things come to mind. One was that there's obviously a few more lifestyle blocks in that location than the northern site or the preferred site for the NOR. But the other probably more significant issue that came through was that location was much more likely to direct traffic, heavy traffic, back into the urban network, urban transport network, because if you think about where the rail corridor is on the southern side of Railway Road, and the way the freight hub would be set up, you would have all the industrial buildings sort of further south, and then those those connections of Stony Creek Road and Roberts Line would then become key connectors back down into Napier Road. And really what we talked about through that MCA process from a transport planning perspective is the significant issue with that, if you were to flip the NOR to the other side of Railway Road, is you'd be starting to direct, as I said, heavy traffic back into locations which are inconsistent with the regional transport planning process of having Kairanga Bunnythorpe Road and Ashurst Bunnythorpe Road. If that makes, I know it's a little bit difficult to talk through that without a plan in front of me, but or you, sorry. But I think one of the real key advantages of the preferred site with Roberts Line to the north and Setters Line and the proposed deviation of Railway Road is you have ready access out to the proposed regional freight ring road without having to travel past or through the urban network.
Thank you. I was interested in your concept, the master plan of Bunnythorpe potentially holding capacity for some further development. And what's its wastewater treatment system at the moment? Is it networked or is it...
It's connected back into the city.
It is?
Yep.
How did that happen? Is that historical, always been in that?
Yeah, there may be some holding of some wastewater for a period of time, but my understanding it has been now formally connected back into the city. That happened not long after the boundary change.
Is the concept somewhat like a bit like Ashurst, a sort of dormitory contributing suburb?
Yes, as I understand it.
Yeah, and so Ashurst historically has been quite popular as a sort of stepping stone for first home buyers and things of that nature. It sort of doesn't attract the same values as Palmerston North, but it's close enough that people can access it. Would that be fair?
Yes, and we're doing four rezoning proposals at Ashurst at the moment that are really targeted at that more affordable end of the market, and potentially Bunnythorpe would be in the same boat.
Right. Just addressing the what seems to be a process of development and thinking by KiwiRail about the scale and size and function of this hub. We had quite a forensic analysis of the historical process of applying for provincial funding and all of those sorts of things and various communications by the council. At that time, it seemed like the KiwiRail were looking at perhaps a 25% increase in total site area from existing site, which was 40 hectares to 65, which would pretty much have put it within the footprint of the northeast industrial zone extension area that was available. But now it's emerged as a 170-hectare development, some of which, of course, is associated with contributing infrastructure. Can you give us some insight into, I mean, I'd imagine from your point of view, you're not an expert in rail transport, but how that emerged in terms of your understanding of what their requirements are and your view about the desirability of having some redundancy capacity in designing an infrastructure of this type in terms of strategic planning. In other words, that it actually might be bigger footprint than 20 years, but beyond that, it may grow into that. What's your view about that?
Yeah, I think I can make some relatively general observations in relation to that question. I guess the first thing is if we look at the current site, I'd like to think that as a society we're going to reflect on some of the poor decisions of the past in terms of how we plan for the future. So, you know, we moved the rail from through the centre of the CBD in the 50s or 60s out to Tremaine Ave to give it some space. And then we then surrounded it by housing to the north in Milson. We, you know, we continued to use the urban transport network to move a lot of heavy freight through the city because of, you know, the delays or challenges or funding challenges associated with some of the components of the Regional Freight Ring Road. But, you know, going back to some of the drivers of this project, I remember being in conversations, you know, 10 years ago where KiwiRail were trying to sort of conceptually deliver on a similar plan to what they are proposed to do on as part of the NOR on the current site. And there's a couple of examples of where they started that. So there's main freight and toll in the current site. You know, they quickly, we as in KiwiRail Council, the community, quickly discovered that, you know, we had trucks sitting at the corner of Tremaine Ave and North Street for 15 minutes trying to get out of that location. That meant we had to spend some money on some lights, which further constrained the, you know, what at that North Street Tremaine Ave location to deal with that. And I think KiwiRail and together with the council, we sort of started to discover that, you know, for KiwiRail to really turn Palmers North into a key strategic node, they were going to have to relocate. So I think what they are doing in terms of relocating is future-proofing this for, you know, beyond 50 years. And I think one of the key parts of that master plan exercise is going to be to say, well, how can we, you know, the NOR is just one part of a broader planning process, but how can we set up that Northeast Industrial Zone to operate efficiently for 100 years plus, thinking hard about how we design the transport, think about stormwater and think about if there is going to be some housing to support the growth of the city, we put those in locations that is not going to constrain the operations of KiwiRail or any other operators, but we also have those transport connections that are designed for heavy traffic from day one that get you out onto a state highway quickly without having to move through urban parts of the city. So I think the blueprint is there in that northeast part of the city for the opportunity, but it requires a little bit further work, and I think, as I said, the NOR is part of that. So KiwiRail are probably better placed to answer the detailed question about the exact land area requirements, but I think when you look at the constraints of the current site, I think those are informing the way in which all planning is occurring for this opportunity and the other component parts of it.
Right. A reality of the designation is that a substantial portion of the anticipated industrial capacity of the city in the Northeast Industrial Zone is no longer available for general distribution purposes. And you've indicated that that has driven a need to review the capacity and extent. Does, in terms of the efficient and effective use of resources, does any of those factors inform our view about the lapse period that might apply? In other words, if this is simply a holding mechanism, but it doesn't materialise into something, is there something that the council, as a strategic planning entity, would like to know about firm decisions so that it's not planning for other areas which is not needed because this project doesn't go ahead? It's not particularly well expressed by me, but is there some strategic planning factors here that might inform the lapse period?
Yeah, I think what the panel are going to have to, I guess, carefully consider in terms of that lapse period, from my perspective, is, you know, it's KiwiRail are thinking big and long term, And the reality is delivering, you know, and I guess as a country we haven't maybe necessarily been particularly good at that. And the balance is going to be, well, actually, when you do think big and long term, it can take a little bit longer to deliver on that opportunity. So, you know, 5 years is not a particularly long time in the scale, if you think of the scale of this project. But you are right in that if there is a delay in delivering on the project, then that means that that land's not available. I think even if the KiwiRail NOR process was not in front of us today, we would still be, I think, given some of those other drivers I talked about this morning, and that we're seeing some other balanced part of the land taken up, we're seeing significant private interest and development interest, that we would be commissioning a review of the extension of the North East Industrial Zone regardless of whether or not the NOR was occurring. I think the NOR has probably just accelerated the need for that to happen. So it will happen regardless of the outcome of this NOR process. But I guess the city would be, you know, I think given how far KiwiRail have come and its broader strategic alignment, I think providing KiwiRail with a good opportunity to be able to deliver on a long-term aspiration, I think, is a good thing.
And just one final question. I was interested to hear that the upgrade of Richardson Line is in process. That was a significant constraint on development of the extension area, as I recall it. And your evidence is that that's leading to considerable interest in those parts that are not the subject of the NOR. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks. Now, Commissioner Sweetman. You're on mute. You're on mute, Gina. Sorry, we just got a noise, a sound issue. We've got an issue at our end because it's just not projecting. I assume it's out at our end because everyone else is going to be working. Do you want a 5-minute break just to quietly work it through and be less stressful for you? All right, well, we'll just take a quick 10-minute break, people, so that the poor technician doesn't feel like we're all waiting and staring at him.